Well, hello there, my friends. Chris Marcus here with you for Arcadia Economics at 2 o'clock on Tuesday, October 21st. And as I am guessing you may be quite familiar with by now, the gold and silver prices, really all the precious metals prices for that matter, getting absolutely clobbered today. I'm pretty sure this is the biggest dollar move down for gold, possibly silver too. Do have the news here. CNBC was saying that gold on track for the biggest daily drop since 2020. So we'll leave aside for today whether that's an actual record or not. Perhaps not the most important thing. Also, I might say perhaps if there's ever been a day to not sit there, check your portfolio every 5 minutes, today is the day. And I'm going to try and cheer you up a little bit. We'll see how that goes. And here we, well, unfortunately, that is not updated. It's a little bit lower than that. There we go, down $230 on the day, which obviously is a big move lower. I don't know if you want to hear this today or not, but I'm going to say some context would probably be incredibly helpful for your sanity today. And at the end of it, think about that. You could have the gold futures down $230 and still trading over $4,100. And also, when you have a move like that, where are we back? August 20th here. The gold futures, what today? Okay, today's October 21st. So August 21st, 2 months ago, the low of the day was 3,362. So we're still $800 higher and even better. I'm not trying to make you feel happy or chipper about that, but just when you see a move like this and similar in silver, which we'll get to in a second, whether we like it or not, I would say if you're invested in gold and silver and you expect moves like this to continue, then you should also just be prepared that we're going to have corrections like this that are going to be quite large and volatile. And but just think about what happened over the past 3 days. Here's back on, I believe that, okay, yeah, there you go. There's Wednesday, goes from, or no, last Thursday goes from a low of 4216 up to 4388. So $170 in a day. Then I'm sure you remember on Friday that it came down quite harshly. And hopefully you still remember yesterday where we were sitting here. I was stunned. I'm like, is the gold futures really up $170? So, maybe if you had slept through that and you had gone from 4216 to 4127, I don't know if that makes it easier or less stress-free, but again, when you have moves that go as quickly and rapidly to the upside, you're going to have sharp corrections. These corrections play out a lot differently than they did for the last 55 years since the gold futures have been trading. Or I don't know, maybe this is exactly what it was like. Actually, this is what it was like in the 70s leading up to the 80s, where you had a lot of sharp moves. And I know Luke Gromen often talks about during the Weimar hyperinflation, if you own gold on leverage, even as the Reichsmark was hyperinflating, if you were on leverage, you would have been stopped out 4 times and lost your position in that process. So, anyway, I know I'm not saying anything perhaps shocking here, but I don't know. Hopefully that is helpful to point out. I mean, it's one of those things you know yet. Let's get this one updated and then also our futures updated. Just, I would say it's good to be prepared for these types of moves. Where there we go with the silver futures, where you see those are down 350 over 6.8%. I think it was over 7% down in a little while ago. Here is the spot price also down about the same amount. Okay, spot price, their market down 7%. Interesting in terms of the spread, we see that's narrowed a bit. Let's see, what do we got as of now? Down to 72 cents, 73, 73, somewhere between 72 to 74 cents. That's lower than yesterday when it was back over a dollar. Ever since the spread blew out back on October 9th in that stunning day where buck 20 when I was posting Vince that morning, then an hour or two later it had gotten up to 250. It has come back down right around this range a couple of times to that 60, 77 level. And we'll see what happens here. Again, some metal has left the COMEX. Say we're about the 20 to 25 million ounce range. Although, as the spread narrows, again, you have the shipping cost, insurance, and everything to get it back over there. There's a certain time that you need to get it back over by. So that's why when the spread blew out, you saw metal, people were willing to take that risk to get it there because it was sufficient to capture the arbitrage at the lower levels. Less incentive, and sure enough, we saw that whichever day it was last week, where you'd had, I think it was seven, it might have been Thursday, where you had seven or five trading days of consecutive outflows from the COMEX between 2 to 4.5 million ounces. And then the day that the spread narrowed, that number dipped under 1 million ounces. I think it was back up a little bit yesterday. So obviously important to keep an eye on that spread. And a couple other things to touch on here today. This isn't going to be a terribly long one. Maybe we'll take a question or two at the end, but a few notes. Hey, this was interesting. Eric Young highlighting what Bob Coleman reported yesterday. See another silver ETF seeing a massive spike in a borrowing fee to short shares. And as we'll get to in a moment, we touched on this with Eric a little bit, Eric Young, who was on the show a little bit yesterday, but I don't think this is resolved. Here we see, perhaps not necessarily new, but India's largest precious metals refinery has now run out of silver for the first time in history. Refineries backed up in the US. We're seeing a lot of product shortages pop up in different locations. Although the, let's see here. We'll leave that for another day. But the other thing I wanted to touch on was this article that, we talked about a little bit yesterday. I also did a emergency Sunday morning broadcast. I read this, I skimmed through it quickly on Saturday when I woke up. I was trying to take a break from silver and then came back to it Sunday. And as I was reading, I was like, good God, some of the things they put in here. And when I went live on Sunday, I said I might do one later that night, which decided to end up taking a break and did not. But this, I want to go through this article with you because some of the stuff that is in here is truly incredible. And in case you haven't read the version that we posted on the Substack yesterday, yeah, this one. Well, I'll walk you through it right now. Although Substack, where we do a daily written column each day at goldandsilverdaily.substack.com, also in the description field below, but in case you just want to hear me tell you to it, talk it out to you, well, I would be happy to. And here we go. So I'm just going to make sure that we are coming through clear here. And yes, nice to have so many of you watching live. So thanks for joining me here today. And hopefully this will help take your mind off of that for a bit. And anyway, let us dig in because here, first, panic in London, how the silver market broke. You'll see that silver market broken a couple times throughout this article. I said back on October 9th that something broke that day, and turns out I think I got that one right. We're seeing kind of some confirmation here. So anyway, this, why now? Why did this happen? Well, we've talked about the LVMA inventory getting low, and then ahead of the Indian festival season, they just had a big surge that was beyond what they had seen there before. Especially interesting because India, traditionally known as a price-sensitive buyer, so they actually follow that buy low, sell high mantra. And yet here you're seeing this happen at a time when the prices were setting record highs. So I think that was what, tipped an already fragile situation over. When the demand came, customers, retailers were blown away. Most people are dealing silver, and silver coins are literally out of stock because silver is not there. This kind of crazy market where people are buying at these levels, he hasn't seen in his 27 years. And by the way, a quick side note, that guy Chirag Thakur out of India that you often see quoted in the Reuters articles giving updates on what's happening in the market. He was actually on Bloomberg, and I will go through that one. Not today, or no, he was on CNBC, but interesting to hear what he said. And we'll get to that another day. Great reason to hit the subscribe button and the notification bell. And with that said, let us get back to it. But within days, these shortages are not being just felt in India, but around the world. And, they talk about how people are not so thrilled with the stability of the dollar. But let us continue on here. Rippled through the London market, prices ricocheted higher. Plunge was just the latest indication of the extreme stress being felt across the silver market. Again, Bloomberg saying worst crisis in 45 years since the Hunt brothers. I think that is pretty fair to say. And they talk with traders, bankers, refiners, investors to find out what actually was happening behind the scenes. And here you go. It's a story of how a perfect storm of events coincided to drain the silver market's buffet of inventories, including a multi-year solar power boom, a rush to ship metal to the US to beat possible tariffs, and a wave of investment in precious metals as part of the so-called debasement trade and a sudden spike in demand from India. So I think in line with what saying a moment ago, interesting, Wall Street even has a term for the trade now, the debasement trade. Seems like good marketing, if nothing else. So again, they're pointing to India and Lakshmi, who I looked up the other day, the goddess of wealth, apparently. So apparently a lot of people in India were getting presents for Lakshmi and the festival season. This was interesting. India's social media stars promoted the idea that after the gold rally, silver was next to soar, which every once in a while I'll run into someone and they say, like, hey, what do you do, man? And I'm like, well, I have a YouTube channel. They're like, oh, you're an influencer. I'm like, well, I don't know if I would use that word. Don't think of it as a social media star, but it's like, is the Indian version of Kim Kardashian telling people to go out and buy silver. Just interesting, again, seeing the role social media playing. Saw the role that happened a couple of years ago during GameStop, and which back then spread into silver. And we thought we had a silver squeeze back then. Well, this one, bit bigger. Amit Mittal, general manager at Overseas Bullion, has never seen it's says it's never been like this before. The demand this time for silver has been humongous. This was interesting. Premiums for silver in India above global prices started to rise above 50 cents, then a dollar as supplies ran short. And they're speaking to something that I've heard people talk about here and there over the years, where if we really ran into a crisis, could you have localized silver prices? And sure enough, that's exactly what we're seeing now, where the price in London is one thing, the price in New York is another, price in India is different from that. And sure enough, that is what they're referencing here. They also mentioned just as Indian demand was soaring, China, key source of supply, closed for a week-long holiday. Although as Eric Young detailed on yesterday's call, they're having their own issues. So, but as a result, well, actually, let's first, they did have this chart. Here you see the Indian spot silver prices over the benchmark. Looks like it got up to about as high as $8 an ounce. And as analysts, bullion dealers, we're all giving bullish calls in the Indian media in a way that has not happened in 14 years. The FOMO factor has worked. Interesting, at least when I think of FOMO, I think of what we saw in the crypto market for the past couple of years. And wouldn't that be something if they started treating silver like Bitcoin, where I guess Bitcoin was once upon a time $50, and we know the price today. And no, I am not saying that is what's going to happen, but better than looking at the pricing today. Go think about that and smile, get some ice cream or something. And Anyway, so after China was closed, bullion dealers turned to London, but they soon discovered that the city's precious metals vaults were largely sold out, which obviously is, something that we've highlighted and I think that you knew about. Now, I don't know if that means that somewhere in there, they were turning over to my man. Oh, no, I didn't share the sound. Sorry, we got to get. I wonder if they called in Dave as a
The
consultant.
stuff is also quite heavy, as you know.
Now, there he was talking about gold. I couldn't even imagine what he would say about the weight of silver. So, hopefully, that's not who they turn to in the midst of the crisis. But anyway, right, a couple of months after the Bank of England couldn't deliver gold, we find the city's precious metals vaults were largely sold out of silver. And London's vaults underpin the global market, holding more than 36 billion, but the majority of it has gone into the ETFs, which we've talked about. And I guess I should have said earlier, that was the other factor, along with, I think India was the final straw, but the ETFs kind of helped. Maybe they were the body blows to weaken things. Here they talk about the debasement trade again. ETFs have hoovered up. They didn't add, they hoovered up more than 100 million ounces of silver, leaving a dwindling stockpile available to supply the sudden boom in India. Now, this part, if you've watched some of the other videos you've heard before, although there were two key jaw droppers here, of which this is the first one. And I'm going to read it again. So, around 2 weeks ago, JP Morgan, the largest metals trader and an important bullion supplier to the Indian market, told at least one of its clients that it had no more silver available to deliver to India for the month of October. And the soonest it could offer supplies was in November. Getting back on October 9th, when I first saw that article about India not being able to add to the ETFs, they said, well, we don't have it now, but we're expecting it in the next shipment. Think they said 2 weeks, within 2 weeks. I forget the exact language about that, but October 9th, we got 31 days in October. That's 22 days at least. And JP Morgan saying November. I don't know if that means November 1st, but we will come back to that in bullet number two. So here you see fund managers that they're talking about which need physical silver to back the holdings when new investors come in. And he watched as they ran out of silver in the vaults. And the situation became so severe that Kodak decided to halt new subscriptions to its fund, as did UTI and State Bank of England, India, to their funds. And then again, you see the price that we already looked at here. Gold bazaars charging prices well above the benchmark. Premiums soared above $5 an ounce. In the chart, it looks like it went up to $8 an ounce. Either case, that's incredibly unusual. I think India is often trading at a discount too. And here's another one, maybe three mind blowers. JP Morgan's reluctance to ship more silver to India indicated that the strain on supplies was going global. And certainly, we've been seeing building evidence of that. We're seeing, now again, I try to distinguish between when you don't have Cougarans or Eagles, or maybe there's silver there, but people have bought out the supply of the coin. So we've seen that happen a lot. But we did also see the Royal Mint talk about delays. So, some degree to which customers are not clients. I don't know if, again, not a pure industrial Royal Mint, but anyway. With the festival season just away, market was being gripped. Panic in London. Traders described a growing panic as liquidity dried up. Cost of borrowing silver overnight soared to an annualized rate as high as 200%, which really truly is stunning. We saw the spreads widen, traders step back, and basically couldn't trade. Senior banker described how tempers rose as clients who had borrowed silver, typically companies in the supply chain like refiners and dealers, called repeatedly to ask for the latest cost of borrowing. When his bank could no longer offer a price to roll forward its loans, some started screaming down the phone lines. I could only imagine. You may know I had my days back on the trading floor. Not like the cuddliest environment, and here all hell is breaking loose, so not surprising to hear that. One trader said big banks were offering such wildly different quotes that he was able to buy from one bank at its ask price and simultaneously sell to another at its bid price for an immediate profit. Rare sign of dysfunction. What back in the day we referred to as a crossed market. So another thing that does not normally happen. And all right, there is more or less little to no liquidity available. We have basically stopped all similar intake that is not committed contractually. And then here's the wild part, is that the dealers, the local coin shops in the US here, are stuffed to the gills with product that people are selling back. So the buyback prices are on the lower side. And they're stuck with metal, but the refiners are backed up, so they can't get it somewhere, so that those could be melted down into 1,000-ounce bars, which has been happening a lot over the past couple of years, and get sent back to London. So it's quite a mess. And Brian Kuzmar, maybe you guys have seen him on Twitter. He was on the show last Monday. Had dinner with him last Thursday, and he was pointing out, he's like, there's only two LBMA-approved refineries in the U.S. One of them wasn't doing silver right now, so you have backlogs in different places. And despite today's pricing, I don't know that this is over or going to be resolved anytime soon. So here is power moment number two, or if you want to follow the latest accounting offered, maybe this we'll call this three. But this is, if you've heard it again, trust me, it's better than looking at the pricing. And if you haven't heard it again, prepare yourself. Because here they mention the silver market, known for its wild swings, and when the regulators step in, such as the Hunt brothers in 1980, when they said, well, people can only sell now, which shockingly had an impact on the price, brought it back down. Then 1998, after Warren Buffett took a position that triggered a squeeze in London, the LBMA changed the rules. Normally, you can have 5 days to deliver silver to a vault. They extended that to give people 15 days. And then here we go. But the LBMA doesn't see the need to take similar action now because it views the current squeeze as the result of genuinely short supplies of silver rather than due to logistical bottlenecks as occurred in 1998. I don't know what else you could say about that one, except I've been thinking about it constantly ever since I read it. And I try to be careful not to say, hey, there's a shortage or anything that could be misconstrued. And I thought it was possible, but I was wondering, is this just a matter of we have to get the silver from point A to point B? LBMA is saying that's not the case. And at least according to Bloomberg, who talked with someone familiar with its thinking, I'm assuming that's the case, but at least based on what is published here, suggesting that even the LBMA is saying this is a genuinely short silver shortage. So pause this one, take a screenshot. So if prices go down a little lower today and you're not feeling happy about it, you can come back and look at that. Then they talk about the deficits, photovoltaic, aka solar, dwindling inventories, tariffs, metal flowing from London over to New York earlier this year. And there we go, the free float being low. Here is the 1 month lease rate, which you can see has spiked, but as of Friday, it had come back in. And then they say when prices started spiking higher in early October, one question was on traders' minds. How long would it take to get the New York stock back? People familiar with the process say in ideal circumstances, it can take as little as 4 days to buy up spot silver, load it on a commercial flight, then unload it, move it into vaults. When I talked with Robert Gottlieb last week, he said that the cost is about 8 to 10 cents per ounce if it's shipped over, which takes about a month, and 15 to 18 cents per ounce if it's on a plane. And I do think there are other costs that I think that's under normal circumstances, not what people are doing now, but that's at least what he said in terms of a general ballpark of the pricing. But you can have snags at any point in the chain. One risk for traders, they could enter contracts to sell silver in London and not be able to get it there in time, leaving themselves exposed to the cost of rolling their position forward. So it's not when people are sitting there saying, oh, well, they just ship it back, it's not that simple. I'm also particularly curious to see how much ultimately leaves the COMEX because, again, like I mentioned earlier, if that spread narrows, there's less incentive. Also, we don't know exactly who's holding the silver in the COMEX, why they're holding it, and at what price they would be persuaded to let go of it. Will be fascinating to watch, and you're living through a bit of silver history, and hopefully this is helping to put that all in context, because when you can see some of these things happening beneath the surface, I mean, it's there's if you could, aside from whether the price is up or down and how that affects your thinking, I mean, it's just a truly fantastic event that's going on here. So here they mentioned 20 million ounces in the last 2 weeks have come from the COMEX as they're trying to get it over there. Although there you go, the logistics firms, they're making a nice little ounce, not a nice little penny, nice little ounce, with many jacking up their own prices as the silver market soared. So believe, excuse my language, it sounds like it's a complete clusterfuck right now. And again, in the background, we have this 232 ruling, which, if you have not heard that before, basically after the reciprocal tariffs on April 2nd, then we have April 3rd, Trump administration announces that gold and silver are exempt from the tariffs. Then later in April, Trump administration announces that they're going to do this 232 investigation for minerals that are critical minerals. And what should be the tariff policy on that? They said they expect it mid-October, which theoretically we could have had now if the government wasn't shut down as well. But where things change is that when silver was added to the critical minerals draft list of what could conceivably be added, then all of a sudden it's subject to 232. So that is making things even more difficult throughout the industry. And I think that just about covers it. So that is your insight into what is happening today. And in terms of if you want a specific reason, I would think this is the volatility that comes with that move. There's not been a resolution to the Fed's money printing, the US balance sheet, or anything else like that. We're still getting lower interest rates. Trump is still going to find someone to get interest rates even lower than Jerome would take them. And anyway, hopefully that's a little bit helpful today. And I have time to take one or two questions if anyone wants to fire a question in there real quick, as we'll take one final look at the pricing. I'll pull up the gold chart while I take a look over there. Put in the comments in the chat field there. What are you thinking about today's move? How are you feeling about it? Is anybody freaking out completely? And while we wait to see if any questions come in, we'll take one other look. Here was another interesting one. Luke Groman's been pointing this out. I don't know if you saw this, but basically the Trump administration has offered swap lines to Argentina. Here, Brad Setser mentions now Mr. Bessent is not only rescuing Argentina, he's declared unconditional support for Milei. A Treasury official says Argentina may be the first of several bailouts from America on similar terms. Not sure the Treasury has thought this through. A couple problems with similar terms. Who else would get unconditional support? Where would the ESF get the money? It only has $22 billion in liquid dollars and $20 billion seems pledged to Argentina. And as Luke pointed out, now we're selling treasuries to buy Argentine pesos. So that's the key takeaway here, because the US still has that whole debt issue, and now somehow they are trying to bail out Argentina. So I see we have a few questions in here, so I will take a couple of that. Of them, we have Ann Daly. Are you buying on the dip or is your silver vault full already? I actually will be buying. Well, with today's move, I may look at another option. I was up on my option on Friday, and I didn't get it closed out. It expired worthless. Fortunately, I didn't do anything reckless or extremely large. But let's take a. And again, my usual disclaimer: do not trade options unless you really know what you're doing or willing to take on risks. So, by all means, not any suggesting or advice here. But actually, I was reminded of one of the problems with that because here's the thing: well, on one hand, silver is down 369, so the spot price is lower if you were thinking about buying a call option on the way back, but. Well, I guess I saw this before I put it on, and maybe that's why I went smaller and more conservative. Because when you have these moves, the other thing is that the volatility just gets jacked up. So any sort of option is incredibly expensive. And I have my theory, although it's like, oh, gee, man, anytime something's down 7% in a day. Maybe worth looking at, although that's the balancing factor. So I may look at that this afternoon. And in terms of silver, let's say I got a large sum of money in today. I would probably buy some silver. I don't know if I'd be in a rush to do it. I guess the comes back to the question of do you buy or sell now? Well, obviously the would have been great to buy when silver was $20 or $30. And I feel like that gets missed a lot, where I think it's great that people are excited. But keep in mind, if you're buying at least last week, which is not to say there is not a case that something could happen in London or over time that the silver price could continue to go higher, just factor in you are buying at an all-time high, similar with gold, which. Especially as I was listening to Luke's column this past weekend. You know, when you think about what the Trump administration is actually doing and the reshoring, especially the way that he explains it, which he did do when he came and visited on the show a month or two ago. I mean, it's almost there's no other outcome that could happen to gold over a longer term where. The effects of the onshoring policy, what that does to the treasury, and as we're already seeing the debasement trade and money come out of there. So I would subscribe to the view that 10 or 20 years from now, we could very well have a shift, a process in the gold market similar to what we saw from the year 2000 when it was 250 bucks and now it's over 4,000. So if you have a lot, again, a lot of this depends on your time horizon and perspective. So if you're saying I want to have something that is protecting part of my capital for the next 20 or 20 years, then I think that makes a lot of sense. If you're saying, well, it just broke 50, the silver just broke 50, I think it's going to hit 100 by Christmas. There's certainly paths where that could be possible. Just keep in mind your factoring all that in. So, I don't know if that was an actual answer to your question, but hopefully, some thoughts that are helpful. And again, as I look through, we have another 7% down day. Yes, we do. That, I don't know if that was the. Okay, we'll take one more question here. Chris, do you think this is the low after the shakeout? I'll be the first to tell you, I don't have the first clue. We could go lower, it could go higher. I would suggest that anyone telling you right now that this is exactly what's going to happen, I would be careful about that. We're in uncharted territory. So, you know, you do want to factor that in. And anyway, with that said, we'll show one final look at the pricing before we wrap up today. And oh yes, I just remember what I wanted to say, where I was talking with a friend the other day and about this exact topic of, well, should we buy silver now? I'll just highlight that, you know, I worked in finance, loved those Jack Swagger books and other books that I've read about people who are really successful investors. And there's very few investing legends that made their name by spotting one event going all in and nailing it. And there are some, but like even John Paulson, who made a fortune on mortgages and gold in the about 15 years ago, they're still trading a lot of things. It's not, but just be careful about, well, I'm going to get this and then watch it soar and then go sit on the beach and stare at the wall for the next. But it's really more a science of the day to day, like, okay, this changed. What are the, how are the probabilities changed? How has my opinion changed? And playing for the single rather than the home run, if you will. And then when someone grooves one down the middle and crush it, all the better. So anyway, some trading philosophy on a day where the prices are down a lot. And with that said, let's stop looking at them for now. Don't get yourself all riled up. And hopefully this was helpful. I sure appreciate everyone who joined us here today. And actually, one final note as we wrap up, did just send out today's recap of some more detail, including a little bit further behind the scenes of this breakage in London. So that is up at goldandsilverdaily.substack.com. At Gold and Silver, get absolutely pummeled as that spread has narrowed. And again, that's something that you're going to want to keep an eye on, which if you hit the subscribe button, the notification bell, I will be able to do here for you. So anyway, going to wrap up for now. Thanks again for tuning in, and look forward to seeing you again tomorrow.